You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Thursday's edition of the podcast where we've got racing on the level at Beverley, two national hunt fixtures at Bangor and Warwick, and into the evening we're on the all-weather at Chelmsford City, and there's an Irish card to enjoy at Clonmel. And you'll hear every race live from 1:50pm on William Hill Racing Radio with Dave Kellner, John Budden and Chris Pimlott in the studio. But joining myself, Sam Norris, ahead of the action is Ollie Pimlott to look at four on Thursday. How are you, Oliver?
Yeah, I'm in good form, thank you, Samuel.
Good stuff. Excellent to hear. A nice winner for you and for the listeners and for everyone in the office last night as well, Ollie, with that 8-10 at Wolverhampton.
Yeah, it wasn't the biggest price winner, but a winner's a winner, Sammy.
Mm.
Yeah, real nice winner at Wolverhampton last night. I'm sure the filly will go on to bigger and better things in time. But yeah, 5-4 winner for the Godolphin boys at Wolverhampton. And yeah, couldn't ask for any more, really.
Drifted slightly for the off, Ollie. Went off 11-8, I think.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not parfait to best odds guaranteed
right.
Anymore, so I missed out on that. But yeah, she was a really impressive Dubai Fashion, is
the
filly we're talking about. And yeah, she won certainly like a group filly. The vibes were certainly very good going into the race. And as we were saying off air, Sam, you know, after half a furlong,
yeah.
you knew you were counting your money. Really, really impressive performance. Don't think she beat much. Likes of Pure Vanity let the form down a little bit, who'd shown up okay on debut at Ascot. But yeah, Dubai Fashion, certainly one for the listeners' notebooks to go on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, looks a really, really useful filly that Godolphin have got their hands on there. We'll have a quick spin through the racing news before we look at Thursday's racing. We'll start with Charlotte moving back to the top of the juvenile rankings, returns to the top of the two-year-old colt list on 96 points ahead of Air Force Blue on 72. But that's probably it for Charlotte's season, and Air Force Blue is looking likely to go to the Dewhurst. Two really impressive two-year-old colts, Ollie.
Yeah, really impressive. I thought he was just maybe coming to the end of his tether, Charlotte, at the weekend.
Yeah.
He's certainly shaped like that. He wasn't quite as impressive as he had been. He only just beat Burrettino. Burrettino's been a good two-year-old this year, but he's... You know, he's been banging his head against the door on softer ground. Obviously, the return to good ground helped Burrettino, but Shalar was unbelievably impressive this year. He deserves to be the top two-year-old. But it's going to be shaken up, isn't it, by the Dewhurst and the tussle between Emotionless and, of course, Air Force Blue, which is going to be exciting. We just talked about an exciting Godolphin horse, and There's another one in Emotionless. I actually think when they meet in the Dewhurst, that Air Force Blue would probably come out on top. He's by Warfront. They tend to be a little bit more precocious, and I think they have Emotionless more in mind as a Derby horse than a Guineas horse. So next year, I think Emotionless will be the better horse, but certainly if I was betting on the Dewhurst now, which we are, I think we're slight favourites with Air Force Blue. I'd be going with Air Force Blue just to beat Emotionless, but would be no surprise whatsoever yet next year if they meet in the Guineas and, of course, the Derby, if Emotionless turn the tables, because being by Warfront, Air Force Blue is going to be a lot sharper two-year-old than Emotionless, and arguably Warfronts don't train on as well as other stallions. So yeah, so a really mouth-watering Dewhurst in a couple of weeks' time. Expect Air Force Blue to come out on top, but next year we might well see a difference in the ratings between the two, between Emotionless and Air Force Blue. But I think Shalar, he's not going to go Guineas. I think John Gosden is he thinks he's just an out-and-out sprinter. Frankie Dettori says it's the quickest two-year-old he's ever sat on, so that says it all. Probably be July Cup and that sort of way bound next year, July Cup, the Nunthorpe, all those big sprints. I'm sure Shalar will be involved with them.
Yeah, the traders have got the Jewers priced up pretty much as you have it, Ollie. Air Force Blue 5-4, Emotionless 11-8. Then it's 10 Spar with the likes of Tashweek and Galileo Gold in there. But certainly looking forward to Dewhurst. And this weekend, of course, Ollie, there's a little race going on over in Longchamp.
Yeah, there's a few good races going on in Longchamp. No more so than, of course, the Arc. Interesting forecast. Every single day we seem to be getting different stories. yesterday that it was going to be heavy rain on Sunday evening. Now it could be a little bit earlier. Obviously, they moved the arc to the fourth race. It's earlier on the card than usual this year.
Yeah, 2:55 the arc this year.
Yeah, a lot earlier. And there's been a little bit of to-ing and fro-ing, a little bit of banter, so to speak, in the papers between Thierry Jarny and Anthony Oppenheimer. Anthony Oppenheimer says Golden Horn will easily beat the dual arc heroine Trev, which I think is wishful thinking. He, of course, has had six very difficult runs, hard runs all year, Golden Horn. Trev, this has been her race in mind all year. She's only had the three runs. The one worry for Trev, slight worry, would be the ground, of course. But she did win on quick ground earlier in the season. She wouldn't be the greatest of movers. She would appreciate a little bit of cut, but I still have her far and away the most likely winner of the arc, and she's drifting now to a backable price. I believe she's even money and bigger, isn't she?
Yeah, that's right. She's got even money. This was 4-5 yesterday, and I was having the conversation with Sam Turner as well. If the ground does look like it's going to go hard, there'll be a bit of watering going on to help the French horse.
And French ground in October is very different to here. Longchamp can get very, very wet, and it's not usually lightning quick ground. As Sam says, there'll be a little bit of whispering in the ear from Cricket Hadmerek, I think, to the Longchamp clerk of the course for a bit of watering, and that will suit New Bay as well. The other real big French challenger from the André Favre team has got such an outstanding record in the race. I think, those two French trainers will be having a word in the Longchamp clerk's ear, and I wouldn't be surprised to see a good bit of watering going on if the rain doesn't arrive. So I think Trev is still a very worthy favourite, and you're actually getting a pretty decent price on her.
Yeah, exactly. That even money price, as we mentioned there already, the ground's almost certainly going to, whether it's by natural causes or whether they water it, it's going to be Trev's ground,
isn't it?
It's going to
be in her favour. It's not going to be, put it this way, it'll be more like the ground in the Judmont where Golden Horn got beat than the lightning quick ground that he's previously been plying his trade on.
Yeah, it's been, obviously, we had those reports, weather reports earlier in the week of, you know, it's going to be set fair for Longchamp for the weekend, and thus Golden Horn came in a couple of points. Is he one to leave alone at 5-1 now?
I think he's just had a long season. Three-year-olds have an excellent record in the race. We've talked about the arc a lot on these podcasts, and three-year-olds have an outstanding record because of the weight for age allowance, of course. But he's had six runs. It usually goes to a horse that's had this race in mind for the majority of the year. It's one of the hardest races in the calendar, you know, probably one of the most competitive as well, 20 runners, which is going to be. And I think you've just got to be trained with the race in mind. But three-year-olds have a great record in the race. Of course, New Bay comes into that category as well. When in France, go with the French would be my sort of motto. And if I was looking at another horse, I'd much rather look at New Bay than Golden Horn.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. And you'll be gracing Longchamp with your presence, won't you?
I am departing on the Eurostar around about 8:15 on Saturday morning.
Nice.
Not sure I'll be sober when I arrive in Paris about 2.
No.
I'm not sure if I'll go racing Saturday, but certainly be there on the Sunday.
Absolutely. Well, I hope you enjoy that, and we'll all be looking forward to the arc, of course, come Sunday 2:55. We'll move on then to matters closer at hand. We'll look at Thursday's racing now. We've picked out four races on the card, three jumpers, and we'll take in one from Chelmsford on the all-weather. We'll start, though, at Warwick with their 240. This is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles. Class 3 event with eight runners lining up for it. Who caught the eye here, Ollie?
Yeah, really interesting event. It's pretty competitive stuff at Warwick. Obviously, they've reverted from being a dual-purpose course to just a jumps track, so you're going to get a little bit better ground than you'd usually get down at Warwick. I thought this was a thoroughly, thoroughly competitive race, Sam, here at Warwick for our first, the 240. It was hard merely for me to pin one down, but I thought what was interesting was Satanic Beat. It's going to be his first run for Phil Middleton, who has only got four or five horses in his care. He's bought this off Jed O'Keefe, and Jed O'Keefe's done a really good job with it. Carries top weight here. Has been an improving flat performer this season. And if Phil Middleton can eke out a little bit more here, I wouldn't be surprised to see him go close. And on the projected betting forecast, we have Satanic Beat at the outsider of the lot. Obviously, it might not be tomorrow when the prices come out, but at the minute, Satanic Beat is looking at being a 10-1, 12-1 chance, which I thought was far too big. We still have the dead eight as well at time of recording, so I thought he looks a knocking each way bet. He's got top weight, but Conor Schumart takes three off. Jed O'Keefe's done a good job with him, but wouldn't be surprised if Phil Middleton just eked out that little bit more. And at double-figure price, I thought Satanic Beat would give you a decent run for your money in the first, on our first of the races at Warwick, the 240.
Satanic Beat then, the top weight for Ollie. Yeah, 12-1 on the tissue at the time of recording. We'll move ahead then to the 420 at Warwick. This is a handicap chase this time. Over 3 miles, eight runners line up for it, so we've got a dead eight for each way purposes. A couple of horses here making their seasonal reappearance, and the rest of them, They've looked okay.
Yeah, the likes of American Legend, he's been running throughout the summer and had a good campaign of it, but you'd argue the handicappers got hold of him now. The same applies to Tales of Milan, who's had a couple of runs, Phil Middleton, another of Phil Middleton's runners. The same applies to Urquilin. These have all been plying the trade through the summer. I'd probably prefer to take a chance on one which comes here fresh, and I'm going to go with bucking the trend here for Tim Vaughan and Michael Byrne. An official rating of 125, only carries 11 stone 3, has had 586 days off the track, Sam, but could be thrown in off this mark. He was second of four behind Pinarello at Newcastle. That was back in February of last year. But the handicap has given him a chance. Since that run, he's dropped him £7. He was a really progressive horse prior to that. He won a really competitive handicap chase at Fontwell, beating For All and No Buts, who've franked the form since. And you'd like to think that Tim Vaughan's got his horses in good form. He'll come here fresh and well. And also, he'll be fit. You know, if you've got a horse off that long, the best part of 2 years, the trainer's not going to run him half fit because, you know, he'll just break down again. So I thought booking the trend was really interesting. The handicap has given him a chance. He's dropped £7 for the absence of 586 days. But I think Tim Vaughan will have him spot on tomorrow and he could be thrown in off that mark, having prior to his break looked a thoroughly progressive handicapper.
OK, booking the trend then, getting the vote for Ollie in that Warwick contest. We'll head over to Bangor for our next race then. This is their 4 o'clock. It's a handicap chase over 2.5 miles. Just the six of them line up for this class three. And we'll start with the chances of the skeleton runner here, Ollie. Open-hearted, 237 days off the track. We last saw it pulling up. But before that, I had some eye-catching form figures.
Yeah, and this was previously in the care of Nicky Henderson. Mm. We know, even off the best of trainers as Nicky Henderson is, how Dan Skelton seems to be improving horses from nowhere. He was pulled up on his last start for Nicky Henderson, and he was pulled up pretty sharply on that occasion, was open-hearted. Pulled up before the 14th, so he'd only just got past halfway. He had an official mark of 138 on that occasion. The handicap has left him as it is, but it'd be no surprise whatsoever if Dan Skelton found out that little bit more of improvement. Tongue-tied first time, which is very interesting as well. That might be a reason for him pulling up at Kempton. Perhaps has had a wind operation since, and the tongue tie would maybe indicate that. And as we see with all the skeleton horses, they are fit as fleas, especially first time out. If he's going to catch him first time, this could well be the case. So, yeah, open-hearted. I think he's been put in as favourite, but he looks, again, pretty unexposed, Sam, because you would not be surprised. Dan Skelton eked out £3 or £4 worth of improvement, and he's bound to be fit after that long layoff of 237 days. The tongue tie as well, probably had a wind operation over the summer. So open-hearted for me in the 4 o'clock at Bangor.
Yeah, open-hearted then in that Bangor handicap. The next race we'll come to on the podcast is the 8:45 at Chelmsford City, taking in some all-weather action. Now, this is a handicap over a mile and a quarter. It's a Class 5 event with 12 of them down to contest it in a competitive-looking heat here, Ollie.
It's a really competitive race, Sam, but the one that interests me most is Legal Shark. I thought he was well worth another try at this trip. His stable, Sir Mark Prescott stable, in excellent form. He was 5th of 9 in a handicap at Lingfield 9 days ago, but back up in trip with the stable in excellent form, Luke Morris booked. I thought that was certainly a worthy favourite, probably a worthy favourite on the morning line tissue. Of two that to go against him with, Red Unico's had a good time of year. The handicapper might just have this one. He was a winner at Catrick in August. He was a creditable 4th of 10 in a handicap at Wolverhampton. Well, no problem going on this surface here at Chelmsford, and Mick Appleby's team seem to devour these deep surfaces, and Ali Rawlinson takes off a valuable three. And the other one, which I thought was interesting, was Overheard. He certainly looks the best of the three-year-olds in this race. He was a 20-1, 7th of 9. He was a lightly raced maiden. He was 4th of 11 in a handicap at Sandown. That was 15 days ago, making an effort probably a little bit earlier than ideal on that occasion. Probably kick for home a little bit too soon. Makes his polytrack debut here, but being by Luke De Vega, should have no problem going on the polytrack. Jeremy Nasida's in excellent form, and I thought he was a big player against a favourite. But Legal Shark would be my selection in the 8:45 at Chelmsford, the danger being Overheard.
Legal Shark then getting the pick for Ollie, then the St Mark Prescott train, Luke Morris ridden, number 7 on your race card. Just remind us, please, one more time, then your four selections for the action on Thursday, please, Ollie.
In the first race at Warwick, the 2:40, I'd go with Satanic Beats each way. The 4:20 at Warwick, I would go with Bucking the Trend for Tim Vaughan and Michael Byrne. In the 4 o'clock at Banger on D, I'd be with Open Hearted on its debut for Dan Skelton and Harry Skelton. And in the 8:45 at Chelmsford, Legal Shark for Sir Mark Prescott and Luke Morris.
Ollie Pimlott's thoughts then ahead of Thursday's racing. And remember to tune in to William Hill Racing Radio from 1:50pm, where you'll catch all the action. We're on the level at Beverley. Two jumpers then at Bangor and Warwick. Into the evening, we're on the all-weather at Chelmsford. And there's an Irish card from Clonmel. So plenty to look forward to on Thursday afternoon. Thank you very much for joining me on today's podcast, Ollie. And best of luck with the selections.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.